Well, last night there was a community information discussion meeting about protecting our kids. It was called by Mark Rubin, the St. Louis County attorney, to talk about giving folks some information about this danger and also how better and best, I guess, to move ahead. St. Louis County Attorney Mark Rubin joins us this morning from the road where he is safely in the passenger seat on the phone and someone else is doing the driving. Hey, Mark, good morning and thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Lisa. I'm just trying to comply with that new hands-free law, which is a really good new law.
It is an excellent new law. And yeah, yes. The county attorney breaking that law would be a super bad plan. It also means we get a little bit better audio quality. I have hands-free in my car, but it also means that I yell a lot, which I'm good at, but we have good audio quality, so that's great. Mark, let's talk a little bit about what sextortion is and online child exploitation. The information that you sent members of the news media included a special thanks to the U.S. attorney for the District of Minnesota, Erica McDonald, for leading efforts in trying to get to the bottom of this. But first, let's start with a definition in terms.
Well, term is when it's a cybercrime that occurs when offenders use personal information about an individual, a photograph or information that they obtain through a coercion, through hacking or something online, and they use that to extort money, to extort photographs, to extort compliance with different type things. And it's one of these unintended consequences that there are so many of the internet, because it's horrible, the predators that are out there posing as children, because children, young girls, are the primary targets, which is so sad and so disgusting. And I think you mentioned the we give credit to Erica McDonald, our new U.S. attorney. She was appointed last year for the District of Minnesota. She is the one who took this on as a primary goal to address these issues in Minnesota, because it's a state crime, but it's a federal crime also. And she brought up, she helped put this together. She led it, actually, to bring up two of her top lawyers, two of which who have actually prosecuted some of these cases at a federal level, to try to make the community more aware, help us. And last night's effort was so good because we had Chief Tuscan and we had Sheriff Lippman's involvement. Chief Tuscan is just fantastic the way he works and collaborates with our office, with our prosecutors, and with the federal authorities. So I'm really grateful to have him as a partner along with Sheriff Lippman.
Now, it strikes me that the problem, in a sense, is twofold. Because, of course, it's kids who are young and maybe make bad decisions, maybe are not aware. You know, on the one hand, if you do your job as a parent and you raise a kid to believe that the world is full of good people and that they're safe, in a sense, then the kid goes forward with this guppy mindset. And I can say that because I'm one of those kids. I was one of those kids a long time ago. I'm still kind of a guppy. So it's really difficult as a parent. How much are we supposed to scare our children? So the kids are one problem because we want to raise them to be nice, trusting people. And yet the other part of the problem, and of course, obviously where the blame belongs, of course, is on the criminal. But on the other hand, ever since the invention of the internet, we have been seeing parents that are absolutely outpaced, out-teched by their kids. Parents trying to impose some kind of order, some kind of discipline, some kind of control on this, the same way that, Mark, perhaps you and I, our parents, you know, kind of gave us a heads up about what movies we couldn't go see, what books we couldn't be reading until we hit a certain age. And parents have been absolutely clueless and unable, in some cases unwilling, but in many cases unable to exert the kind of control over kids and their social media that they, you know, that our parents were able to exert back in the day. Sure. So where do we go from there?
Well, you know, people ask, you know, do we need better laws? No, we don't need laws. we've got to establish that communication. And some parents think, well, is that just that I need to better police my child's activity on their phone? No. You had to be aware of it, yes, but you somehow, our goal even last night was to let people know it's that communication between parent and child, which is, you know, that would solve so many of society's ills, obviously. But because if you're trying to teach children to trust, but then if they can't trust their parent who is spying on their involvement on the Internet, what message is that sending? And that's the art. It's the art of parenting, the art of raising kids that will trust the relationship with their parent. And the sad part is, though, too, you know, our parents, like you mentioned, Lisa, I mean, are they attuned? Are they up to speed on the Internet? No way. I mean, I know myself, it's still a challenge adjusting to all this new world. But how do they build that communication in order to keep the children safe? And what people don't realize, too, even when kids will exchange photos, inappropriate photos, you know, sexually suggest or whatever, they're there forever. And that's what we're trying to let kids know. It could, with predators out there, people with bad intent, they're going to use that against that child when they're younger or when they're a little bit older. We have revenge porn as part of sex, you know, the sextortion, where people that had a relationship break up and then want to hurt the other person by using these photos. But it's a long answer to your question, but how do we build a culture of trust in this challenging age?
So when you're talking about sextortion in this instance, mm-hmm. you yep. are indeed talking about the person who is in a relationship with someone else. They care about the person. They trust the person. They exchange these photos. And then something goes bad, or they thought they were in a relationship, but the other person was really just trying to get nasty pictures. And then suddenly these pictures go, you know, even maybe not on the Internet, but maybe they're just texted around, perhaps. So we're talking about the whole scope of everything from the relationship that you're in with the best of intentions as a young person, all the way to a cyber criminal who's pretending to be a young person and then ends up trying to extort money. And so parents are needing to have these conversations about quote unquote stranger danger, but also conversations about, you know, the person that you're dating, that you're in love with, you still got to be smart, because what if?
Exactly. And in addition to that, this is a male dominated offense. Almost, it's like 98% of these offenders are males, and they're older males a lot of times. And we've got cases both at the federal and state level where they pose as 14, 15 year old kids, even on the Internet as another female maybe. Or whatever. So they're trying to trap. They're trying to get the kids involved that way. And then, of course, if you get the parents involved and they find out about it, there's threats not to go to the or if they go to the police, what would happen? And especially if they've hacked into their person's computer or their phone. So you know you've got those two different tracks going simultaneously.
Mark, who were the people who were at the meeting last night?
Last night we had a phenomenal panel. We had, of course, Chief Tuscan was there. Laura Provenzino, an assistant United States attorney who has prosecuted a couple of these cases, along with one of our assistant county attorneys, John Holitz. We had Bonnie Fries. She's a child adolescent FBI forensic interviewer. Dale Hansen of the task force, an FBI agent. And then Leah Stauber, who was one of our lawyers in our Virginia office. And Leah does all of our juvenile prosecution, but she has put together a tremendous community awareness presentation. She goes into the schools and different community groups up on the range, and she talks to them about this issue and just brings that awareness out and helps kids and parents learn how to discuss it between each other. Amy Lukasiewicz is helping. She's one of our prosecutors in Duluth. She's doing the same now down in our Duluth area. So they made up the panel, and then the last person was a person from Safe Harbor, from PASA, Mel Alvar. So it was quite a group.
Who were the people in the audience? To an extent, you would think that the people that are concerned about this are already the people that are trying to keep their kids safe, you know, which is kind of the irony of the whole thing. But let's talk a little bit about who was in attendance at the meeting from the community and what were their questions and concerns.
Well, yeah, it was a good cross-section of the community. Obviously, the parents that were there, they want to know the same questions you've been asking. How do we communicate? How do we talk to our kids about this? We don't want to scare them too much, but we want them to be aware. We had law enforcement peace officers who were there who want to learn how to do their job better and to be more aware. We had some other prosecutors in the audience. But a lot of people, some people have, you know, had enough. They've read about the issue, and some whose lives have even been touched by it. So there are stories, you know, that people talk about. And it's so hard because people feel like they, you know, this is the challenge, Lisa, because people feel if this happened to their kid or to themselves, they feel that they failed. And that's, you know, that's not what we want people to walk away from. We learn from it, we move on, and we try to help educate others to keep kids and keep our, you know, community safer.
You know, as we get older, we realize not that we welcome the horrible things that happen to us, but we do realize that how much good in the world is done by people who have made a mistake or who have been victimized, for whom something horrible has happened, who've said, I'm going to take, you know, the breakage of this, of my life, and I'm going to move forward and try to help other people with this.
Yes, absolutely. And that's what we need, too. We need people, and we got to be open to learning from the mistakes that we've made, and we all make them. And that's, you know, that gives us hope to go forward, I think.
Mark, one final question. You and I have lived a while, and we know the last thing. Now younger people, of course, are doing an amazingly good job. They know they have not been taught what they need to know about communication in all different aspects of their lives. I have a 21-year-old daughter who is ferocious, and and every and any topic is up for discussion. It is discussed in detail. Words are used, lots of good words, descriptive words. We get down to the nitty-gritty about the thinking and the emotion behind situations. You and I weren't raised that way. We were not given the tools we need to have conversations. We were not taught how to parse psychologically what's going on. We're not taught to give words to feelings and thoughts and actions. How are people of our generation, or even younger, how are people in the generations between the oldest of us and maybe these ferocious young college students? How do we learn? How do we get better?
Well, I wish I knew the answer. You know what I think it is? I think it's all part of making it about the other person. You know, when we're learning, we should practice talking to other young people. Parents should learn to talk to other kids, and then about anything, not just how school and engage in sports, and you know, that's about it. Learn to talk to your friends, your child's friends, about different things so you are comfortable having a conversation. And also, you know, just and talk with your child maybe about what's going on in your mind, your own struggles. You don't want a parent to come across like they have all the answers. And we're still learning, too. We're learning and growing. That's one suggestion, I guess.
I think... And then, too, I think seek out these ferocious young people. If you're lucky enough to have them in your life, you can just kick back and watch them. But seek out these ferocious young people and ask them how you can do better, because they're not uncomfortable with conversations. They're not uncomfortable with subtext. They're not uncomfortable with naming things and calling them by their names. And I think we've got so much to learn from them. Sometimes I have to confess, I got to hold my face still because they're having conversations about stuff that we didn't talk about.
But, well, remember, we were younger. You were told you didn't talk about religion, sex, or politics.
Exactly.
And look what's happened to us today.
Well, exactly. So I have to hold my face still, and I have to say, you know, squash that I'm uncomfortable reaction and just be uncomfortable and keep going.
I know.
Someday we are going to make awesome grown-ups, Mark.
Someday.
I am hoping that if you get a minute, since you can just sit there and noodle on your phone while your wife drives for you, that you can, I'll do a little bit of snooping too, but it would be good if we can have some links that people can click on and look up so that they can get some additional information about this if they're curious. And so if you've got anything great that you want to send me, otherwise I'll do a little snooping on my own. We'll get some additional information up for folks so that they can begin the process of educating themselves. Mark, thanks so very much for joining us this morning. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for just talking about this and getting it out to all the listeners and everything. So thank you, Lisa.
Mark Rubin is the St. Louis County Attorney. He joined us this morning as our guest on Northland Morning.